Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4. We've been speaking of fellowship, and I had this little passage on my heart, and just meditating upon a few statements of it during the last few days, so perhaps the Lord is leading this way. So chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take him unto him, my two sons, to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went in, and went from him, and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came in thither, and turned into the chamber, and lay there. Well, that's all we'll read. But you know, our brother was speaking of fellowship, and how the saints in the old, at the beginning of the church period, they were characterized by continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fellowship, you know, doesn't happen, just happen, does it? There needs to be preparation in our hearts for fellowship to occur. God has made every provision that you and I could be in fellowship with Him, in communion with our thoughts, with His thoughts. You know that word fellowship or communion is translated that way. It's the same word, root word in the Greek. And it's translated, I think it's used 16 times in the New Testament, fellowship or communion. And so that's why, you know, God has done a work to bring us into communion with Himself. What did it cost Him to bring us into communion with Himself? It says, in connection with Paul's doctrine in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he says that this cup, we give thanks for that cup. I'm not going to quote it correctly, I'm going to turn to it. But it's a cup of blessing, a cup of fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion or the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we being one, many are one bread or one loaf and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Well, you know, Christianity brings us into fellowship with divine persons, but the price that was paid to bring us into fellowship was the blood of Christ. We were as far from God as we could ever be. And yet he wanted us in fellowship. So we have this little picture given to us in the Old Testament of preparation, of one who made preparation that there might be fellowship with that man of God. And Elisha, we know, is a little type of Christ. And so there was a day of ruin and weakness in Israel, a day that's similar to ours. And so there was a woman in weakness, and one of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And here's one that was in poverty in the land of Israel, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, the best land in all of the earth. God had allowed famine, and he had allowed things to come into ruin because of sin. And we know, as has been just pointed out, there's been a restoration of the truth of God. During the 1800s, we know that the truth was recovered. All of it was recovered, and we're brought into the blessing of it. And we know that it's not in the full power of what was at the beginning in Acts chapter 2, in the power of the Spirit. But you know, this woman, she was asked this question in verse 2. Tell me what thou hast in the house, She says, a pot of oil. So we live in a day of weakness. Let's not despise the day of weakness, a day of small things. It's the pot of oil speaks of being indwelled with the Spirit of God. She was indwelled with the Spirit of God. And maybe a small assembly that you come from, maybe a day of weakness. Perhaps we have a little relief from it in a sense when we come to a conference this size. But we know that there's weakness among us, spiritual weakness, because there hasn't been made preparation for fellowship with the man of God. And we have a little example here, as I say, in this woman. She was given this instruction to take these pots, empty vessels, empty vessels. What does emptiness speak of? An empty vessel speaks of a humble vessel. Let's read in 1 Peter chapter 5, that little verse, a couple of verses of scripture that are sometimes partially quoted, and we might do better to quote the whole passage when we're thinking of it. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's read just partway through verse 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I believe the Lord is refreshed in his soul, refreshed in his heart, when he hears us call unto him and express our needs and our weakness, and to tell him how weak we are, tell him how needy we are, but in humility. We know that Uzziah went into the temple and he went in a prideful fashion and he came out a leper. But no, we can come into the presence of the Lord. We come in humility. We're nothing. You know, Brother Albert Hale used to say, had a little expression, perhaps Jim and others remember it. He used to say, the brethren are all just a bunch of zeros. Every one of us is just a zero. And except for the number one out in front, we'd all be zeros forever. So we have the Lord before us. But she brought these vessels, empty vessels, and the oil was poured in. But you'll notice in verse 4, it says, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon the sons, thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, thou shalt set aside that which is full. Well, you know, the shut door speaks of us walking in separation and shutting the world out, shutting the things of this world out, that we might have fellowship and that we might go on in the power of the Spirit of God in our lives in some measure. And the reason perhaps for some of the weakness that we have and the lack of a sense of fellowship with the divine persons and a lack of fellowship with one another perhaps is because the door to the world is not shut. And the fellowship doesn't flow forth as it ought to flow. And there's something that hinders that fellowship. And so those things that hinder, we need to keep the door shut from this world. It speaks of separation, you know. She went in from him. There was obedience, verse 5. She shut the door upon her and her sons. and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. You know, God isn't going to command that you come into his presence in humility as an empty vessel. He's not going to demand it. This woman took these empty vessels that were brought, and she filled them with oil. There's not going to be a full oil. There's not going to be that full power of the Spirit and the manifestation of what the Lord is doing in blessing among his people, except we do follow this principle to shut the door and then to have that oil poured out. We know that the oil stayed. She was able to pay her debts and then live on the rest. And so God gives and he gives and he gives in abundance. It's the Lord's desire that you and I would be filled with a joy and fellowship with divine persons, and in our lives characterized by the energy of the Spirit of God. Well, it says in verse 7 that she came and she told the man of God. Not nice to be able to tell the Lord those things that we do, that in humility and our desire for communion with himself, that there might be that fruit for himself and enjoyment in our own souls of his presence. So he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. And so there's separation. If there's a desire to keep the world out and to walk in fellowship with the Lord, there's going to be results in the family. There's going to be results, and it says in the book of Romans, no man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. You're going to have an effect upon others. So this woman had an effect upon her children, the generation, the next generation coming up. It says then in verse 8 that it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. Where was a great woman? She constrained him to eat bread. So here's another woman. A great woman, wealthy. She had means in connection with this world, and perhaps she was great in spiritual things. She was a woman that had a desire for spiritual things. You know, sometimes it's a shame perhaps to say it this way, but sometimes the sisters are more spiritually minded than the brothers. Sometimes a husband is not as spiritually minded as his wife. And I've been very thankful to see, and from one place to another, different sisters that read a little bit of ministry, that come to the meetings faithfully and seek to raise their families for the Lord and so on. But they're spiritually minded. They're actively engaged in spiritual things. And there's blessing as a result. Her husband doesn't seem to have been of the same character. Perhaps he was a believer. But it says, really, that this man of God, Elisha, passed by, and she constrained him to eat bread. You know, the Lord delights to have fellowship with his saints. And he delights to just have this desire that you might express, or I might express from time to time, to get a little, to come in and to have fellowship with us. You ever, when you're reading the scriptures, sometimes just ask the Lord for a little treasure, a little portion for yourself. Just a little portion that it might be refreshing for yourself. That's a wonderful thing, to get a little refreshment from the Lord. A little treasure, a little something, a special treasure. But you know, the Lord Jesus desires that you come and sit into his presence, that he might be refreshed himself. That he might enjoy your company, that he might enjoy something and be refreshed. It says that he passed by and turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber. She didn't step out of place in connection with her position as a woman. And she worked alongside her husband. I believe she deferred to him in this matter. She says, let us. She encouraged him, make a chamber for thee upon the wall. And so I think it's Mr. Darby's translation. It says that it's a little chamber, I pray thee, with walls. And then again, it speaks of separation from this world. A little chamber with walls. You know, it's a little chamber perhaps might speak of the heart. A little chamber, a heart. The heart, refer a little place in the heart, reserve for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. He says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, it says, "My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart." Well, this woman, she prepared, along with her husband, I believe, a little chamber. And then it was their preparation made that the man of God would have fellowship there in that home. And she says, it was on the wall or with walls, "Let us set for him there a bed, a place of rest and refreshment." You know, she knew what was characteristic, what would be, the Lord would appreciate that he might have fellowship in that place. And you know, and I know, as we read the New Testament, even the Old Testament, we know what's suitable for what the Lord would desire to have fellowship with us in our homes and in our lives. She knew a little bed, a bed, a table. The table speaks of fellowship. She wanted fellowship with the Son of God. She wanted with this man of God a picture of the Lord Jesus. She provided a table and a stool to sit at his feet. We have mentioned in these meetings the need for reading of the scriptures. I know it says in Acts chapter 17 that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Searching the scriptures is necessary. Reading the scriptures is necessary as well. You notice in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 that Mary of Bethany, she sat at the Lord's feet. There was intelligence in connection with her course afterwards. There were all kinds of people came to the sepulchre after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but Mary of Bethany wasn't there. She believed what he had told her. She had sat in his presence and she had heard his words and she believed. There was something of communion with Mary and her Savior. And so this little table, this table was provided, a stool to sit in his presence, and then a candlestick really might speak of his word to shed light on different aspects of things. And so she had those things prepared. "It shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." Well, have you made preparation that the Lord might have fellowship with you? The man of God desires that he would have fellowship with you. The characteristic that we have of eternal life, the fact is that we're sons. Our brother Bob just brought before us, we're sons. Does God have fellowship with the angels? The angels are servants. They're servants forever. You wouldn't want to be an angel. Angels are ministering servant spirits sent forth in service to those that shall be heirs of eternal life. The Old Testament saints. Abraham was sitting in the tent at the cool of the day, in the heat of the day. There he was. The Lord came, had fellowship with Abraham. There was a place, a man that was in communion with God, and he spent time there, the Lord Jesus, there with Abraham. But you and I were sons. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, just a couple of verses. Verse 4. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children," or it should say sonship, "by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." So in a past eternity, God looked down as he planned the whole of the creation. And he desired that there would be fellowship with his creature man. And there was fellowship in the Old Testament days with his people of Israel. And there were happy times during those years in Judaism when they walked in obedience to the Word of God. But now, in connection with the Christian testimony, you and I are sons. And God had predestinated us to be sons and to be in fellowship with Him during this age. Just before He comes for us, He desired that we would enjoy His fellowship as those that are part of the family of God. But there's going to be preparation, I believe, that's necessary. And this is what it speaks of in 2 Kings chapter 4. That preparation, let us make a little chamber. It wasn't mandated, it was voluntary. I pray thee upon the wall, with walls, separated from this world, a place of isolation, not isolation, but a place of separation from all of the defilements of this world, a place suitable to enjoy fellowship with divine persons, a bed of refreshment, a table of fellowship, a stool, habitual sitting at the feet of the Lord, and a candlestick having His word before us. But what a privilege to be able to enjoy fellowship with the Lord Jesus as a son, with the Father. Abraham could never call God as his father, but you call God as your father. And you can pray to God. The Lord, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do you thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to enjoy fellowship with Him, the Son of God, the Creator. Imagine a son in the dignity of the position of a son, the favor of a son or a daughter, having fellowship with God Himself. Well, may God give us the desire to make preparation and keep ourselves in a prepared state to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus and to give Him refreshment to His own heart.
Can we sing number 2 in the appendix? O Lord, Thy love's unbounded, so sweet, so full, so free. My soul is all transported whenever I think on Thee. Number 2 in the appendix. O Lord, Thy love's unbounded, so sweet, so full, so free. My soul.
And with the Lord. Blessed Father, our God, it's been a privilege to be under the sound of this meeting, the open meeting where we've been edified. And to take in these things, our Father and our God, of our blessed Lord Jesus and the pathway that we have as we continue to walk here. And these blessed truths as they unfold, may they be put down into our shoe leather as we move forward. We're thankful for this time over thy word, these couple days thus far. And so as we wrap up the day, going into the meal, then going into the gospel meeting, we just do pray for continued blessing for the remaining part of this day. We love thee, Lord Jesus, and we wait for thy coming. In thy name we pray. Amen.